Good morning. And today is the last day of 2023, and I'll be bringing you the year-end message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemptive work of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit fill each one this morning. And may your word be spoken this morning, not mine. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. As we look back to 2023, I have a couple of questions for us. Are we growing in our faith in Jesus Christ? Are we growing to be more Christ-like in our character? And what have we learned spiritually this past years? If you're still in school, you'll probably at year end be receiving your report cards or grades, Scott Wright, and that will let you know how you did on your courses. And if you are working for a company, you might be doing a year end performance review. Before I retired, I was the technical director of a forest products company, and at year end, I had to do employee performance review for my direct reports, the five technical managers, and they had to do the same for their staff. The purpose of the review was to assess the performance of the employee over the past year and to plan and set goals for the new year. I tried to know my technical managers so that I could more effectively provide support and also with the required trainings and tools for them to do the job. But I have to admit, I did not know everything about them. But we have a God who knows everything about us. Luke 12:7. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Just imagine. I'm losing my hair, but I don't know how many hairs I have. But our God knows. Our God and our Lord Jesus Christ know us better than ourselves. And God equips us to grow spiritually. God may use certain circumstances to teach and to train us and to grow us, our faith in Him. In this past year, you might have experienced trials or storms of life, and you might be experiencing that now. And these storms of life can come up unexpectedly, and this might be the death of a loved one, illness of yourself or loved one, financial hardships, relational issues at home or at work. Our Lord Jesus Christ may be using these trials to teach us to depend on Him and strengthen our faith in Him. God gives us the Bible, the manual of life, which is sufficient for all spiritual matters. And He also gives us His Holy Spirit at the request of Jesus Christ to indwell in us believers, to guide and teach us all things necessary to live a fruitful and productive spiritual life. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In this fallen world, we will inevitably face trials and storms of life. But God works all things together for good for us believers, according to His divine purposes. God uses the trials and storms of life to teach us to rely on Him, to trust in Him, and to grow in our faith in Him, and to become more Christ-like in our character. This morning, I would like to share from Matthew 14, 22 to 23, that Jesus walked on water. The title of my message is Grow in Faith. Jesus used this event to teach His disciples and to strengthen their faith in Him when they encountered the unexpected storm in the Lake of Galilee. Jesus is also using this event to teach us to strengthen our faith in Him when we encounter unexpected storms of life. The fact that this event is recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, and John tells us that there are important lessons in this account that our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to learn from. I have divided the passage into three divisions. Division 1, verses 22 to 23. The summary is Jesus sent His disciple to cross the lake by boat. Verses 22 to 27 is division 2. And the summary is Jesus came to His disciples in the midst of a storm. And division 3, verses 28 to 33. The summary is Jesus saved Peter from sinking after Peter walked on water. And we'll go through the divisions and go through the verses, a group of verses together. And division 1, verses 22, 23. And the summary again is Jesus sent His disciples to cross the lake by the boat. And let's read verses 22 and 23 together. Verse 22, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there. Immediately, this is referring to the passage prior to this, or the event prior to this. And Jesus miraculously multiplied 5 meager barley loaves and 2 small fish from a boy's lunch to feed 5,000. And that's Matthew 14:21. The 5,000 were men only, besides women and children. Therefore, including women and children, one commentary estimated there were closer to 10,000 people. The people ate until they were filled, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers from the 5 loaves and 2 fish that Jesus started with. We read from Mark 6:42-43 that, so they all ate and filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And I was reading one commentary, and one commentary was saying that these baskets were big baskets. They were like laundry baskets. So there were lots left over from what Jesus started with. And this is certainly a miracle that only God can do. The physical hunger of the people was satisfied. As in the Old Testament, that the Israelites, physical hunger was satisfied in the desert for 40 years when they ate manna provided by God. The physical hungers of the Israelites then in the desert and the 5,000 were temporarily satisfied, but they would go hungry again. The 5,000 were filled, and they wanted to make Jesus king because they wanted Jesus to continue provide for their physical needs. Jesus was using this miracle to teach the people that He is the bread of life, who came to satisfy their spiritual hunger, not merely only physical hunger. as Jesus knew the people wanted to make him king for the wrong reason, he sent them away. And then immediately after this event, Jesus feeding the 5,000, he sent his disciples to cross over to the Lake of Galilee to the other side towards Capernaum by boat ahead of him. After Jesus sent the disciples off on a boat, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray alone. We know from verse 23 that this was evening. At this point in time, the disciples would have witnessed the miracles performed by Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding in Canaan of Galilee and feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And these miracles clearly pointed to Jesus as the Son of God, as only God has the power to perform these miracles. Although the disciples witnessed these miracles, they might not fully grasp who Jesus really is, and certainly did not know Jesus' mission on earth at this time. The disciples followed Jesus' command, got into the boat, and went to the other side and started to go to the other side of the lake without asking really Jesus why he was not with them. Perhaps they expected Jesus would come later on another boat. The destination would only be a short boat ride away. Even though it was evening, they had no concern whatsoever about getting to the other side of the lake, because at least 4 disciples, James, John, Peter, and Andrew, were local fishermen at the Sea of Galilee, and they would know the water well. After Jesus sent away the crowd and sent off the disciples on the boat, he went up on the mountain to pray alone. And we read in Luke 5:16 from the NIV translation that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus, after a busy day teaching the multitudes, i.e. the people, the crowd, he withdrew to a quiet place to pray, as he often did. Jesus is teaching us that there's a time to withdraw from the busyness of life to pray to God alone. A quiet time to communicate with God, pour out our hearts to God, worship him and praise him privately. There's a time to pray alone privately, and there's a time to pray together as a group. As God is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful, and his Holy Spirit indwells in all believers, we know that God is present with us, whether we pray alone or pray in a group with other believers. Matthew 18:19-20 are often quoted out of context to indicate that when 2 or 3 believers gather to pray, God's presence is with them. The context of Matthew 18:19-20 is really concerning church discipline. Jesus is teaching us here that we need a quiet time during the busyness of life to pray and to communicate with God alone. Both private prayers and corporate prayers are taught in the Bible. The disciples follow Jesus' direction to go to the other side of the lake by boat, showing that they have measure of trust or faith in Jesus, even though they did not really know how or when Jesus would come to them or what Jesus had in mind for them. Jesus directed them to go, and they went. Do you spend quiet time in the busyness of your life to pray alone and communicate with God alone? Do you trust in Jesus' words spoken to you in the Bible and follow his commands? The principle here is take time to be quiet in the busyness of life to pray to God alone as Jesus did, and follow his commands as the disciples did. We go to Division 2, verses 24 to 27. The summary is, Jesus came to his disciples in the midst of a storm. And let's read these verses together. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now it was evening, and the disciples had rowed for about 3 or 4 miles, according to the account by John. They faced a strong headwind. I was reading that a strong wind could blow in the Lake of Galilee as a result of the air currents sweeping down the valley of the Jordan River. The lake is called the sea because of the large body of water. And the disciples found themselves in rough sea, and their boat was tossed up and down by the waves. Both the Jews and Romans divided the night into 4 watches, starting at 6 p.m. Therefore, the fourth watch at night would be between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And it would be dark at that time. The disciples were not making any headway in the rough sea against the strong wind. Then they saw Jesus coming towards them, walking on the sea. They thought it was a ghost, and they cried out for fear. Just imagine the scene: that Jesus walked calmly and steadily through the rough sea. Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." I am is a title or name that God identified himself to his people in the Old Testament. And I read Exodus 3:14-15. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me," i.e. to send Moses to you, i.e. the Israelites. Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." When Jesus said to his disciple in the boat, "It is I," he declared to the disciples that he is God. And he commanded his disciples, "Do not be afraid." Jesus' voice calmed the disciples' fear as the disciples heard Jesus' voice and recognized that it was Jesus, not a ghost. Jesus used this situation to teach the disciples that, one, he is God manifested in human flesh. The disciples would know Jesus as a man, as a teacher, but now Jesus declared to them that he is God. Second, he came to the disciples in the midst of the storm when they struggled to get to their destination by their own strength and efforts. In the account according to John 6:21, we read that the disciples willingly received Jesus into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. They received Jesus into the boat, and immediately they reached their destination. Three, their fear disappeared, hearing Jesus' voice and the assuring command from Jesus, "Do not be afraid." Perhaps you experienced an unexpected storm of life or trial in the past year, or perhaps you are facing one now. A storm of life can crop up at any time. As Jonathan taught in his message last Sunday, that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And over the past 3 Sundays, we've heard messages that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, the wife of Joseph, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is fully man. But his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Reference Matthew 1:23. Jesus is God the Son, the second person of the triune God. He is also fully God and fully man. And it is God's grace that Jesus came in human flesh in our likeness as a human to reveal the invisible God to us and to fulfill God's will to die on the cross for the sins of the world so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. As the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Jesus came in human flesh to die to pay for sin's price in full so that we can receive the gift of salvation through faith in him alone. Jesus being fully man, he experienced temptations, oppositions, pains, sorrows, even death on the cross. Yet at all times he committed himself to God the Father's will, and he yielded his own will to God's will and purpose. He's the only perfect sinless man. Although we are not perfect, as we are humans, but as believers, we are to strive to be more Christ-like in character. Romans 8:29. To love, to show compassion, to forgive, to be holy, to be selfless, and to commit ourselves to God's will, to name a few. Jesus, being fully God, he has control over all things in all situations, and his words are trustworthy. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You might try to overcome the storm of life with your own strength and efforts, but you will find yourself exhausted, not making any headway. Similar to the disciples try to get to the other side of the lake against the headwind, not making any headways. They were exhausted. In this story, Jesus is teaching us to trust in him for the outcome of the storm of life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Trust in God's perfect will and purpose for us in all circumstances. Trust that God works all things together for good for us believers, according to his divine purpose. We need to hear his voice and recognize that he is there with us and for us in our storms of life. Matthew 28:20b, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8, I have lost my reference here, but if God is for us, who can be against us? In trials or storms of life, we need to recognize that Jesus is there with us, and he is for us. We need to hear his voice, his words spoken to us in the Bible, and to trust in him for the outcome of the trials, and his words will calm our fear. Jesus says to us, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. The principle here is, in the midst of a storm of life, we need to recognize that Jesus is with us and for us. Hear his voice and do not be afraid. Coming to Division 3, verses 28 to 33, the summary is Jesus saved Peter from sinking after Peter walked on water. and we'll read these verses together, verses 28 to 33. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to get to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Now that the disciples' fear was calmed from hearing Jesus' assuring words, It is I, do not be afraid, Peter, true to his character, being bold and enthusiastic, said to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Was Peter looking to affirm that it was indeed Jesus when he asked Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water? I think that Peter's request showed that he recognized that Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah. And Peter wanted to experience Jesus' power firsthand. Jesus told Peter to come to him, and Peter, following Jesus' command, stepped out of the boat in faith into the rough sea, and he walked on water towards Jesus. Peter experienced the reality of walking on water under the power of Jesus Christ, and this is a miracle. While Peter was walking on the water towards Jesus, he was distracted by the noise of the strong wind and the large waves around him and was afraid. He took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the boisterous wind and sea and began to sink. As he was sinking, he cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out, caught Peter by his arm and helped him up, standing on water again. Jesus said to Peter, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus took Peter and they got into the boat. As soon as they got into the boat, the wind ceased and the water calmed down. The disciples in the boat, having seen what had just happened, came and worshipped Jesus and acknowledged to Jesus, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. They now recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, and they came and worshipped him. It is impossible for a person to walk on water, as a person is heavier than water, and would sink, as it is against the law of physics. My wife, Tammy, and I were in Hangzhou City in Xinjiang about 9 years ago, and we saw a night show on the West Lake. Maybe some of you have seen that, where the performers performed on the platforms of stage, slightly submerged in the water, giving the impression that the performers were walking, running, dancing on water. The performance was staged, and the performers were not actually walking on water, but were walking on a stage submerged slightly underwater, giving the impressions they were walking on water. It is impossible to walk on water, and only under the power of Jesus Christ, God, that Peter can walk on water. It is Peter's faith in Jesus and the power of Jesus that enabled Peter to walk on water, even in rough sea, something that is impossible. And this is a real miracle, only possible with the power of God. Luke 1:37, For with God, nothing is impossible. Peter showed his faith in Jesus' words with his actions by stepping out of the boat. Does your action show your faith in Jesus' words spoken in the Bible? Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, which is very small, you will say to the mountains, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." But as soon as Peter heard the wind howling and saw the big waves at the corner of his eyes, he was distracted by the wind and the waves and took his eyes off Jesus. As a result, he started to sink. But as soon as he realized that he was in trouble, he cried out to Jesus for help. "Lord, save me." And Jesus did. Jesus reached out with his hand and grabbed Peter by the arm and helped him up. Jesus said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus is lovingly teaching Peter not to lose faith in Jesus and not to be distracted from focusing on him. Have you ever been distracted in your trial or storm of life? Trust in Jesus and cry out to him for help when you're in trouble. Stand firm in your faith in Jesus and in his words. Do not focus on the storm, but keep focusing on Jesus, trusting in his perfect will and purpose for you. Jesus is teaching us not to be distracted, but to steadfastly focus on him. As soon as Jesus took Peter onto the boat, the wind immediately stopped and the sea calmed. Jesus has the power to calm the storm of your life and give you peace. John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do not be afraid. Do not waver in your faith in Jesus Christ. Do not be distracted from focusing on Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Cry out to him when you are in trouble. He will give you peace. Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." No matter what trouble, trial or storm of life that you are facing, being a believer, we can have peace of God knowing that he is in control of all things. And he works all things together for good for us, even in times of trials or storms of life, to accomplish his divine will and purpose for us. The principle here is, do not be distracted from focusing on Jesus and cry out to him for help when we are in trouble. Looking back to the past year, have we grown in our faith in Jesus? Have we grown to be more Christ-like in our character? Have we seen God's faithfulness, his providence, his provision this past year? I hope the answer is yes. In the midst of a trial, if we depend on our own strength and effort, we would likely feel exhausted, not making any headway, as the disciples were exhausted trying to row against the wind to get to the other side of the shore in vain. Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples to trust in him and depend on him. And he is teaching us to trust in him and depend on him, not on our own strength and efforts. Peter walked on water when he trusted in Jesus' words and power, but started to sink when he was distracted by the boisterous wind and waves. Trials and storm of life can seem to be so big and insurmountable, causing us to lose our focus on Jesus. Jesus is teaching us and telling us not be distracted and continue to focus on him alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. As Nery Nelson explained in one of his messages, that temptation in this verse can also be interpreted or mean test or trial. Jesus continued to build up the faith of Peter. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter was afraid again and disowned Jesus 3 times as predicted by Jesus. But Peter's faith would grow after he witnessed the resurrected Christ and Jesus restore him, asking him 3 times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus commanded him to feed and tend my sheep. Are you to take care of the church, the believers? Jesus commanded his disciples, as is also commanding us, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Learn from our experiences with Jesus Christ as he is continuing to teach us and build us up in our faith in him. One purpose of the year-end performance evaluation, if you're still working, is to plan and set goals for the new year. It is a good thing to plan and to set goals for the new year and to have New Year's resolution. But from my own experience, plans more than often would not turn out as we plan. As we are human, the unexpected things will crop up. We do not hold the future, but our Lord Jesus Christ holds the future because he is fully God. The passage of James 4, 13 to 17 came to mind, and we start the new year 2024 tomorrow. And I'll read James 4, 13 to 17 to you. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a place or city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does good, does not do it, to him it is sin." And as a song we were singing, "All glory be to Christ," that Carl asked us to sing, is along this line. If you are not a believer, believe in Jesus Christ today so that you can have peace with God, knowing that your sins are forgiven, washed clean as white as snow and wool, so that you do not have to live under the burden of sin, guilt, and shame anymore. And Jesus will build up your faith step by step in your journey, in your spiritual journey. And he will give you the Holy Spirit to teach you all things, to live a productive, fruitful spiritual life. Have a blessed 2024. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things. Thank you for your abundant grace shown to us by giving us your only begotten Son who came in human flesh as the only perfect and sinless sacrifice to atone the sins of the world, so that all may receive the gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We pray that as we look back to this past year, we learn from our experiences with our Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen our faith in our Lord and to grow to be more Christ-like in our character. We praise you that as believers, we do not need to live under the burden of sin, guilt, and shame anymore, because our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross and has forgiven us our sins. We pray that if there's anyone who has not trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior, he or she will believe in Jesus Christ today, receive the gift of salvation, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all in the new year. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.